Hey guys, welcome back to the Pennies to Pounds podcast with your host Kia. And this is a podcast where we aim to dispel your myths, simplify difficult financial jargon, and rectify your own personal problems. Happy Monday, everyone. I hope you've had an amazing weekend. And I am back to bring you an incredible episode all around home ownership. Now, a question that we get a lot through Pennies to Pounds is regarding first-time buyers. What should we be doing? How much do I need to save up? What's available to help me get on a property ladder? Now, never fear, I have got those answers and more, courtesy of my special guest. Guest, who are you?
My name's Dan Knott, known online as Dan Does Mortgages. I'm a mortgage advisor who works primarily with first-time buyers nationally, helping those people to get onto the property ladder and hopefully making mortgage advice accessible, digestible, and maybe even enjoyable.
You are, Dan. You've been doing this for a long while, but I want to ask you, how did you get into this then?
So I bought my first home in 2018, and I had a mortgage advisor, and it maybe wasn't the best experience. I felt like my advisor, you know, it was all jargon, and we were talking. I felt like it was very transactional. He wanted to get into the appointment, get out of the appointment. I'd been working in finance for around about a decade at that time, and I made the decision to move into mortgage advice, to become qualified, to start doing this job and helping people to buy the first homes.
I love that. I love it when people get into careers because of something that they've experienced. So like Your story is similar to me with finance. That's why I started. So I love that. I'm super excited. So let's get straight into it then. What does the property market look like right now for those who are looking to buy? There's a lot of things going on in the news, but let's demystify that. What's going on?
So 2023 actually saw the lowest amount of first-time buyers for 10 years.
Wow.
For, you know, a multitude of reasons, you know, from the pandemic up until 2023, property prices went through the roof, interest rates increased significantly, a little bit of scaremongering on the news, arguably. 2023 was a little bit of a slow year. A lot of people choosing to hold back to see what happens, what would happen in the market. At the end of 2023, so November and December, and then January of this year, rates actually started coming down quite consistently, gradually, but consistently. And it looks like at the start of this year that things are definitely looking a lot brighter. The Guardian have actually released an article today referencing Rightmove, in which the amount of sales agreed has increased by 13% in comparison to last year. Buyer demand by 8% compared to last year. And I also believe the average house price on Rightmove has increased by 1.5% over the last month, which is the highest increase in the last 10 months. So things are looking brighter. And to support that, you know, my diary, the diary of colleagues, people are getting back in touch. As I say, a lot of people last year were a little bit wary, and some people did choose to hold off. But now I think people are ready to get stuck in, see where their options lie, maybe look to make the move soon.
I think that's some good news for anyone who's looking to buy, mm-hmm. to know that things are on the up and up. But this is the question I'm sure you get a lot, mm-hmm. I know we definitely get a lot at Pennies to Pounds, is when is the right time? Right. So as you said, people were weary at the end of 2023. Yeah. Maybe people were thinking, you know, I don't know. Should I continue to wait? Should I buy now? So let me ask you, what would you say to anyone who has that thought in their mind?
Yeah. So something I see a lot online is that if it's the right time for you to buy in your life, so maybe you're in a couple and your rental agreement's coming to an end and you'd like to actually own a home. Maybe it's time to move out of your parents' house. Whatever it might be, if it's the right time for you to buy and you can achieve your goal in the current market, so you can buy the house that you want to buy on an affordable basis, then it's a good time to buy. The reason being, we simply can't guarantee where things are going to go. Mm-hmm. You know, it's quite a chaotic economy, or it has been recently. So, you know, if you wait another year, where will house prices go to? What will happen with interest rates? There's no guarantees. And especially over the pandemic, there was a lot of people choosing to wait. But that's a good example over the pandemic, because a lot of people were choosing to wait, but then house prices increased further, mm-hmm. over that period. And it's just an example that there's never really a perfect time to buy. So if you can achieve your goal and you want to achieve your goal, it's definitely worth having a look at what's possible.
Okay, that's good. That's good for people to kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
I like the fact that you said it depends on you, because it comes down to personal finance, right?
Yeah.
Everything is personal, and it's down to your own personal timing to see what works.
I would say, you know, when you're buying your first home, it's not purely transactional or an investment. you know, in your life, as I say, it might be the right time to buy. Simply, you know, your circumstances mean that this is the time to make the jump. If you're not at that stage, or it's not the right time for you to buy in your life, then maybe not. But yeah, it's not only interest rates, house prices. Obviously, we need to consider those things. Yes. And it's a massive part of it. Of course it is. But yeah, when you're buying your first home, and it's a home that's going to be a roof over your head, your partner's head, where you might choose to raise children in the future, there's a little bit more to it.
Yes, I agree. So let's move to the mortgage side then.
Yeah.
Can we break down what a mortgage is? Just in layman's terms, what exactly is a mortgage?
Yeah, so a mortgage is a loan secured against a property and for the purpose of buying a property. So yeah, the mortgage process, you know, there's over 100 mortgage lenders on the market, banks and building societies. What I would say is most mortgage advisors like myself are whole of market mortgage advisors. That means that you have access to all banks, all building societies, and it's essentially my job to make sure that everybody ends up with the most suitable financial solution for them from the whole of the market on time and first time.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because it's something that comes up quite a lot. And I was speaking to my friend who's looking to get the first property, and we had this conversation and they were like, okay, I'm going to go for a mortgage, but I'm going to go with my bank because I've been banking with them for ages. And I said, have you had a look at what's out there? And they're like, no, I'll just talk to my bank and I'll just, whatever they've got, I will take. So obviously I know what that means, but I want you to explain to everyone who's listening, is that a good thing? So let's say someone's been banking with, I don't know, a certain bank for 10 plus years. And they're like, I do everything with that bank.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my mortgage with that bank.
Yeah.
Is that a wise thing to do, or should they look elsewhere?
So not necessarily. The benefit of going direct to your bank is convenience, potentially. It can be convenience. Maybe you've already got the banking apps. Maybe you know the person who works in the bank. You've already got that relationship. But your bank will only offer you their own criteria for a mortgage. So if you don't meet their criteria, you may become stuck at that bank, and they'll only offer you their own mortgage products. So your bank isn't going to tell you if the bank next door or down the road has a better deal for you. So you are limiting yourself financially. Mm-hmm. So I would always advise, you know, if you do speak to a mortgage advisor, it's literally their job to make sure that you end up with the best possible deal for you on time and first time. That's the guarantee that I would offer to my home buyers. If somebody does choose to go to the bank, it is typically for convenience reasons, and that's absolutely fine, as long as you are aware that there's other options out there which could potentially save you money and hassle.
That's good. I like the fact that you said that, because I know a few of my friends, they've gotten mortgages with companies they didn't even know existed. Yes. You know, it's just like, I didn't know this bank was a thing, but they managed to get it because it was a good rate, and you know, their advisors told them that it was going to be good for them. So I think I like the fact that you said that. Let's talk about mortgages on another side then. So there are a lot of fees that come with home buying.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest one that we know of is a deposit. So people will need to save up their deposit. But what other costs would you say that first-time buyers should be aware of when it comes to actually planning their savings? Because I speak to a lot of people who say, right, I don't know, I need a 5%, 10%, and that's what they're saving.
But
there are additional costs that come with actually getting a house. What else should people be factoring in?
So you will need a solicitor to carry out all of the legal work associated with buying a home. Now, the cost of that will depend on the purchase price, the solicitor you use, things such as, are you being gifted deposit money? Is it a leasehold property? Are there any adults who are going to live at the property not named on the mortgage? There's a lot to consider there. But yes, you should be getting quotations from solicitors, as that is a big part of the upfront cost when buying a home. In addition to that, property surveys. So property surveys are optional, but they are advisable. Reason being, you wouldn't buy a £300,000 car and not have a mechanic check it over.
Yes.
Okay.
True. Yeah.
So they are advisable. A property surveyor typically will cost somewhere, again, depending on the property and who you use, somewhere between £500 and £1,000. Okay. Mortgage advice. So if you are using a mortgage advisor, that can come with fees, typically anywhere between £0 and £1,000. When you're working with a mortgage advisor, I would always recommend asking when those fees are payable. You know, some advisors may charge up front, some on decision and principle, some on mortgage offer, some on completion, or a mix of a few different times. Those are costs that we need to consider, as well as that. Some mortgage products will have something called an arrangement fee. Now, an advisor will always make you aware of this, and they can be avoidable. But yeah, some products may have an arrangement fee of up to £1,000. Okay, so you need to be aware of these things. As well as that, stamp duty. So when you are buying a home, stamp duty can be payable. Now, if you're a first-time buyer, the stamp duty relief up to £425,000. So if you're buying a property for less than that as a first-time buyer, there'll be no stamp duty. Above that, you'll begin to pay stamp duty. Again, but it's about, you know, speaking to people, your advisor, your solicitor, knowing what the costs are, and then preparing for that.
There are lots of additional fees. Yeah. That's what I'm hearing now. We need to make sure that you've got your deposit money and a separate pot to cover the additional fees that come. And even a big one is moving costs. I think a lot of people forget. They're like, right, I've done this, I've gotten the property, but now you've actually got to move furniture in, either from wherever you've been previously living, whether it's with family, or just getting new things in. That is also an additional cost that comes with it, isn't it?
It is. And as well as that, you need to consider that really you should have an emergency fund.
Yes.
You know, the emergency fund, when you do buy your house, if your car breaks down, the mortgage lender is still going to want their money at the end of the month. An additional thought would be, typically your first mortgage payment will be higher than the ongoing mortgage payments. So you should be aware of that, because when that first payment's due to come out, it may be a little bit higher than what you may be expecting.
Wow. So there's a lot to factor in here, but it's not to scare anyone. It's just so everyone can be fully aware of what they need to save up for. I'm going to ask you then, when is the right time to get a mortgage advisor? Because there's different times, you know, you're like, some people might be at the point where they're saving.
Yeah.
They're not ready to buy just yet, but they're not too sure how much they want to save because, for example, we know there's different products in the market. When's the best time to actually seek out someone like yourself, a mortgage advisor?
So it's genuinely never too early to speak to a mortgage advisor, because just having an initial chat with a mortgage advisor, running through your income, your debts, your credit history, how many children you have, what your goals are, how much of a deposit you think you're going to have saved or you intend on having saved. An initial conversation, if nothing else, will just lay some foundations and give you a little bit of clarity of, right, okay, my goals are realistic. Maybe if we carry on like this, we will be able to achieve that goal in the future. Or maybe we need to make certain amendments, reduce our debt, increase our income, improve credit file. But finding that out as early as possible gives you the time to make those adjustments to make sure that you can achieve that goal when the time comes. You know, there's nothing worse than when I speak to somebody who's maybe, Dan, I found a home. I've never spoke to a mortgage advisor, but I've made an offer. That offer's accepted. And then sometimes, you know, they may not be in a position to buy it, but they didn't realise that. So it's never too early. I would say, you know, as a minimum, I think you should be speaking to an advisor at least 6 months before you're planning on looking. As I say, lay those foundations, find out if there's any issues. And if there are, you've got time to make some changes.
That's good. That's a good one. So people can be aware of what they need to fix up on. I think credit is a big one that people, you know, you need to have it in a good place. But what does that mean? What is good? Yeah. Until you speak to someone and you get to know what that means.
Yeah. So I would say at least 50% of my home buyers have some form of adverse credit. If that's as little as one missed payment on a utility bill, I would say 50% have some form of adverse credit. Of those with adverse credit, I would say at least 50% don't fully understand what their adverse credit looks like. Mm. So they don't know exactly what adverse credit they have, whether it's an arrear, a default, a CCJ. They don't know exactly when it occurred, what the figures are, when was it satisfied. So there's definitely a lack of awareness about that. And credit history is something that can really have a big impact on your options and can cause restrictions. Most people don't look at a credit report until they absolutely need to. So I always recommend download a credit report, check My File credit report, in my opinion, is the best option. It includes Equifax, Experian, TransUnion. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is that each of those will actually hold different information about you. So, Experian may have an arrear of which Equifax have missed, for example. As well as that, different mortgage lenders will use different providers. As well as that, Check My File, it's displayed in the nicest way. It's the easiest to read. I would always recommend understanding your credit history, where that leaves you. And then, again, you've got that clarity and there'll be no surprises when the time comes.
That's it. That's a good one. I think that's one we all try and hit home on. Credit is so important, knowing where you are, knowing, and like I said, people miss stuff, people miss phone bills, you don't realise you missed it and that has been logged and that could affect you. So if anyone does anything today, make sure you check your credit file, go and check My File and see what's on there. And if you need to make any changes, you can do so with that knowledge in mind.
Yeah.
Let's come back to the savings element then of buying a house. So what is available for first-time buyers to give their savings a boost?
So the lifetime ISAs, the big one. So a lifetime ISA is essentially a savings account, which allows you to save towards either buying your first home or later life, But let's talk about buying your first home. So you can contribute £4,000 annually and the government will make a 25% contribution on top of that. You don't have to contribute £4,000, it can be less, but up to. So if you do contribute £4,000 per year, you get £1,000 top up from the government, which is essentially free money. Now, if you are buying with a partner, you can both have a lifetime ISA and you really can benefit. And, you know, who doesn't want more money for a deposit?
I mean, I would take it. I would definitely take it.
So that's the obvious one. Now, considerations would be a lifetime ISA, you can only benefit from a lifetime ISA up to a property purchase price of £450,000. So if the property that you're buying is going to be more than that, then maybe the lifetime ISA is not for you. As well as that, you can only benefit from the lifetime ISA you can only benefit from a lifetime ISA 12 months after you've made that first payment. So if you're looking to buy a house next week and you haven't got a lifetime ISA yet, probably don't open one.
Yeah.
So the general guidance is if you're thinking about buying a house in 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, get the lifetime ISA open, stick a pound in, get the clock ticking. And then if the opportunity does arise to buy a home, you hopefully won't be impacted by that 12-month deadline.
Amazing. Are there any schemes available that people can have a look at?
In terms of deposit saving?
In terms of just in general, like trying to get on the property ladder.
Okay, so there are certain schemes, such as the shared ownership scheme. And the shared ownership scheme is essentially where you will purchase a share in the property, less than 100%. Mm-hmm. Typically, that may be somewhere between 10 and 90% of the property. Okay. With that, you know, you will have to pay rent in addition to your mortgage payments. So there's a lot to consider there. But I would say first-time buyer schemes are a fantastic option for those that need them. They're not a cheat code to owning a home. Not everybody should use a first-time buyer scheme like that. But if you need them, they're a fantastic opportunity. But you need to be aware of the pros and the cons, some of the terms. You know, for example, some home associations will only allow you to staircase so many times. Staircasing, by the way, is where you will purchase more shares in the property. So you can't do that year on year. There may be a maximum of 3 times that you can staircase. So you need to be aware of these things. Okay, but yeah, it's a great option for those that need it. As well as that, there's certain different schemes often run by councils, of which essentially you can buy properties at a discount of the market value. Okay, typically on new builds, but again, it can be a fantastic option. You buy the property at something like a 30% discount, depending on the council, and then you would have to sell it again at a 30% discount. Okay, there's pros and cons to all of these things, but they're a great option for those that need them.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It's really good to know what's available. And I think episodes like these just give first-time buyers that ease. Mm-hmm. There's so much being said online. There's so many things going on that people almost feel like it's unachievable.
Yeah.
But when you hear people like yourself talking about it, it feels like, okay, I can actually do this. Yeah. I can put together a plan, seek out the help, and I can reach the goal that I want to reach, which is hopefully home ownership for those people. Yeah. Before we round off then, Dan, I want to ask you, what would be your 3 top tips that you want to leave our listeners with when it comes to saving up for a deposit and getting their first mortgage?
Okay, so it would be speak to a mortgage advisor early, get that clarity. It would be look after your credit history. Okay. And as a third point, it would be save that deposit because unfortunately you will need a deposit. you know, the more of a deposit that you have, the better. That doesn't mean that you're going to have to use all of that deposit, but having a little bit of flexibility in terms of how much you're going to put down. Okay. That will leave you in the best position possible. And yeah, ensure that you're going to achieve success on time and first time.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It's been such an insightful episode. For everyone listening and watching, where can they find you?
So my main social media is Instagram, which is @DanDoesMortgages_. The tag is DanDoesMortgages across Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn. Yeah, Instagram is the main page.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much for coming on the podcast. And to everyone listening and watching, thank you again. And we'll be back again next week with another episode. Bye, guys.